الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق المحارم تكن عبد الناس أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, with the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we have witnessed half of this Mubarak month already. This is the grace, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. There were many who were present in Ramadan last year, but were not present this year. We have no idea whether we will see out this Mubarak month, or whether it will see us leaving before it goes. And if we do see the end of this month, we have no idea whether we will see a Ramadan again. So this is a very great opportunity that Allah Ta'ala has given us. It being a great opportunity has been described by none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhu majma'een, قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, that a great month has come upon you. So when there's a great opportunity, then one is to try and make the maximum of that opportunity. When a person has a business opportunity somewhere, and it is a 1 month opportunity, then he gives it his best and gives it everything. That there's just 1 month in this particular place, I have this chance to make a killing. Then his family also don't disturb him. His friends also know, don't call him for anything. Don't invite him for any bribes or any outing. His family also know very well that he shouldn't be asked to take them to any fair. And anyone and everyone is aware that he is very busy. Leave him alone now. Because this is the time he's got 1 month only to make a killing. So likewise, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us this month of Ramadan to make a killing for the akhirat. The killings of this world, many a times a person has made the killing. But by the time he amassed it and started deciding what to do with it, he was already gone. He had many, many plans for the future. He already was working out the investments. He was working out where he's going to put what and how he's going to grow it and how he's going to move it from here to there and all the various long, long plans he had. But by the time he started using it, before that he was gone. Somebody else used it up thereafter. Whereas the killing of the month of Ramadan is such that before a person goes, it's already transferred in advance. It's awaiting him in the akhirat. So the one aspect of this Mubarak month, half the month is gone. Like a person in any business is all the time looking at what is really coming in. That he set this, opened this business up, there's a specific object of it. The object is not just to see customers coming in and going, to see the till getting filled. The object is that there must be profit at the end of the month. Otherwise, if a lot of people came and went, a lot of things were bought and sold, but when he's counting and doing the hisab kitab at the end of the month, he finds that he's at a zero. Even if he didn't make a loss, but he's just nowhere, he hasn't made anything, he says, I wasted my whole time. All this was in vain. So what counts is that he's made a profit. So likewise, one is the month of Ramadan. There's two parts to this. One is the time that Allah Ta'ala has given us in this Mubarak month to make the maximum of this time. This time is not meant to be whiled away. There were those great servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who understood the value of time. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh, the great muhaddis of his time, who wrote the very famous commentary of Bukhari Sharif, the world-renowned commentary. He would be busy the whole time inscribing, writing down hadith and this commentary of hadith and various other books that he authored. And his entire time was immersed in this. But in that age and time, they would have to write with reed pens. So every now and again, that reed pen had to be sharpened. So he would have to obviously stop writing at that time. But while he is sharpening that pen, he would immediately engage his tongue in the recitation of tasbih. And he would say that why must these moments also go by in vain without something having been done positively? Because this is the one regret that will remain even in Jannat. Can we imagine Jannat, a place without any sorrow, any grief, any hardship, any difficulty? But yet, a person in Jannat also will have one regret. And that regret will be the moment of life that he spent in this world without the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That in Jannat also he will regret, how I wish I had spent that moment also in the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that would have earned me so much more in Jannat. So one is the use of our time. Unfortunately, the Mubarak month of Ramadan comes also, but our time is spent in various futile things and in things that are not going to benefit us in the akhirat in any way. Whereas this is what this one month has been given to us for. Like one example that we can understand the value of this time with, that supposing from the beginning of the month of Ramadan, every person was given a little machine, a manually operated machine. Each time you turn the handle, one 200 rand note comes out. Totally legal, everything official. And you got it just for 1 month. As soon as the moon of Hilal, Eid is going to be sighted, it's going to be taken away. Now can we imagine a person who has this machine just for this 1 month, totally legal, everything above board, and every time he turns that handle, one 200 rand note will come out. Then we can safely say that most of us will be making even iftar with the right hand, but the left hand will still be turning that handle. And while falling asleep also, as long as our eyes can stay open, one hand will be still turning that handle. Somebody asks us to come to some fair, we'll say, I am better off turning this handle. Please leave me alone now. And somebody has some other things to do, I'm very busy right now. I got 1 month to turn this handle. Whereas, as we mentioned earlier, a person after having amassed all those 200 notes, maybe a room full of it, or a whole house full of it, but before he uses it, he might be gone. Whereas this Mubarak month, every moment Allah Ta'ala has given us is banking for us in the akhirat. So the one very, very vital part of this is the qadr and the appreciation of this month. This is appreciation that we use the time correctly. وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ Allah Ta'ala says that those who respect the symbols of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then this is something that emanates from the depth of the heart, from the taqwa of the heart. And respecting the month of Ramadan, appreciating the month of Ramadan, is to do what is required of us and spend the time correctly. There is an incident mentioned, as Thanvi Rahmatullah has mentioned one incident. There was one Baniya in India. It was a Baniya Hindu. And everybody knew him as such. As time passed, he eventually passed on. Somebody saw him in a dream. Now a dream, there are various dimensions to this. It's not something that you can make any Shari'i proof out of. But you can take a lesson from it. So somebody saw this person in a dream and they see him in a very good condition. They see him in Jannat. So they were surprised. You were a Baniya Hindu your whole life and how you ended up here. So he said, no, I didn't die as a Hindu. I didn't die as a Baniya. Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq of Iman before I died. So he said, how come, what happened? Your whole life you lived like this. So he said, what happened was actually one day, it was the month of Ramadan, and my son, well, the son is also Hindu, what does it matter to him? He came out of the house eating out in public. And I saw this. And I called him in and I gave him one slap. And I told him, have you no respect for the Muslims fasting in this month? That they are fasting, you should be respecting that. And you are eating in public in front of everybody. He says, this became the means of me being granted iman before my death. And I left the world with iman. وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Now this is respect for the Mubarak month. A person without iman respected the month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with iman. Our respect and our appreciation for this month is that we cut out everything that is futile. Everything that is distracting us from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we get onto that which will bring us closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So that is the first time how we spend this time. Half the month is gone. Let us see the rest of the month, how we spend this time. Let us make some program for ourselves. At least so much minimum amount of tilawat daily I need to make. The four things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasized that needs to be done excessively. Recitation of the kalima, istighfar, and asking Allah Ta'ala for jannat, seeking refuge from jahannam. Half the month of Ramadan is gone. Let us think within ourselves, how many times have I done these four things? Well, if it was at least 100 times a day of each, it would have been 1,500 by now. Have I done it 500 times? Have I done it 100 times? So let us not now spend the rest of the month in this manner that it also goes by. Let us start asking Allah Ta'ala excessively. This is a time of begging from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, of making our akhirat. So this is the one aspect about the use of our time. Then the second aspect is, as we mentioned earlier, any person who opens that business, he's got 1 month, it's in a prime spot, and this whole thing is going to come to an end after 1 month. After all that effort, he wants to see what he made at the end of the month. So the object and the purpose of that business is profit. It's not just to see people coming in and going out, not just to buy and sell, but a profit must be earned. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has also given us this Mubarak month for a specific purpose and object. And that purpose and object is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The ayat of the Quran Sharif, which every non-hafiz also is hafiz of. Because we hear about it, and we hear it recited and spoken about in the month of Ramadan and before so many times. That every person is hafiz of that ayat of the Quran Sharif. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the purpose of the Mubarak month of Ramadan, that this taqwa must come in our lives. Now, what is this taqwa all about? Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi describes it, that to rectify the relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That there's a relationship between the creation and their creator. Unfortunately, we have understood relationships everywhere else. Customer relations, we have understood. Treat the customer very well. Go out of your way to make him happy. Because at the end of the day, we're going to make some money out of him. So customer relations also, the person, we don't know him from anywhere. And unfortunately, the tragedy is that sometimes we know more about customer relations, people who are total strangers to us. But we know more about customer relations than relationships within our home. The relationship with our parents. What rank Allah Ta'ala has given parents, and how parents need to be respected and honored and served. The customer relations we know, but parent relationship we don't know. How to treat our wives? How many times does that cry? So the customer relation we know, and yes ma'am, and how are you ma'am, and what can I do for you ma'am? But at home, how to treat the wife we don't know. Then there the person becomes that lion, and there he is, that zalim. Allah forbid, what kind of things happen in society? So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us this Mubarak month to develop our relationship with Him. And this relationship is not a dry relationship. This relationship between Banda and Khuda, between servant and creator, this is a relationship of love. Unfortunately, we do many things just for the sake of doing it. Now this month of Ramadan has come to transform that this must be done for the sake of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Standing in Taraweeh, not as a burden, but out of love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Person is sitting and making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. That this is a connection, this is I'm communicating with my Rabb. And to develop this taqwa, this complete way of life. Taqwa is unfortunately many a times restricted to the masjid. I come to the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and I must perform my salah. I must not do anything wrong in the masjid. Out of the masjid, I do what I want. Whereas this is far, far away from the concept of taqwa. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants us to bring this taqwa in every facet of our life. Now the issue is, the month of Ramadan has come, half is gone. How much of this taqwa has come in our lives? And this is the thing that is going to be the report card at the end of the month. How much of taqwa has come? For example, has taqwa come in the way we speak? Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Sharif. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. First, ittaqullah, the same thing that Ramzan has come for. Acquiring taqwa. Oh, you believe. Fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And speak that which is correct, which is straight. Now let us think about our speech in the month of Ramadan. Has the ghibat stopped? Has the vulgar languages stopped? How many a times a person complains that why does my employer use vulgar languages on me? A non-Muslim employee will complain to his Muslim colleagues, why does our boss use vulgar languages on us? And sometimes we advise a person, he says, well, that's how business goes. As if, na'uzu billah, for Allah Ta'ala to give us rizq, we will have to use vulgar languages. If I don't use vulgar languages, Allah Ta'ala won't give me rozi. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So has this taqwa come? Has taqwa come on the tongue? Has taqwa come in the eyes? What is a person looking at? يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah Ta'ala knows the deception of the eye and what the heart is concealing. So has taqwa come in this eye? Is the eye looking at that which Allah Ta'ala is pleased with? Has all the haram stopped? Has all that, those devices that are taking us towards haram, has that come out of our life? Has taqwa come in our fingertips? All that haram chatting that is taking place, and the havoc that is causing in society. According to one attorney, 70% of the divorces, 70% of the divorces that they are handling are cell phone related. Can we imagine what havoc this is causing in society? And what havoc is causing in dunya? What will be the outcome in the akhirat? Allah knows. Has taqwa come in those fingertips? Has that haram chatting stopped? Has taqwa come in our dealings? When Allah Ta'ala speaks about dealings, forsaking interest, for example, first Allah talks about the same taqwa. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَىٰ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah, have this taqwa, that same taqwa that Ramadan came to give us. Fear Allah and forsake this interest. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are indeed believers, then do this. And if you don't want to take heed, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Then beware of war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes people take it so casually. One person says, well, my debtors don't pay me in time, and I got to delay my payments to my creditors, so I charge the interest here and I pay it there. So casual, but simple as that. It didn't come in my pocket. I charged the interest here and I paid it there. On the day of Qiyamah, you're going to answer that to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and get away. You're going to get away in the qabr. If somebody else did zulm on us, that debtor didn't pay us, so we say we'll break the law of Allah Ta'ala and wage war with him in order to pay our dues. So this is the taqwa that Allah Ta'ala is asking us for. And this is one aspect of dealing, every aspect of dealing. That Allah Ta'ala is watching. This Ramadan has come to create that consciousness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he is out in the outskirts, in the desert, and he's the Khalifatul Mu'mineen, Amirul Mu'mineen, the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as he is out, it's a hot day, there's a shepherd with a flock of goats. So this person doesn't know who is in front of him. Amirul Mu'mineen is here. He says to him that, Umar says to him that, can you give us some milk? Because this was a common thing that the musafir, the travelers, etc., people who had goats with them, they would just feed them. So Umar asks that, do you have some milk for us? The person said, look, I'm not the owner. I'm not the owner. The owner is somebody else. I'm merely the shepherd. And my owner hasn't given me any permission to give anybody else anything. Now this is the taqwa again. That amanat, trust. So So in any case, as Umar ibn Al-Anu, when he heard this reply, he was very pleased with the reply. But in any case, he thought, let me test this person. Let's see how much water he's in. Now, it's a simple shepherd. People who are far away from the center don't have the opportunity to all the time be learning from people, from the learned, from the pious. Person is isolated. So you don't expect too much from such a person. But this person is a simple shepherd. Umar ibn Al-Anu is now testing him. And he says to him, okay, look, I got a proposition for you. You do this, you sell me one sheep, one goat. I will pay you the money for it. And I will have the goat. I will benefit from its milk. You have the money, you keep the money for yourself. And your owner will ask you, your master will ask you, where's that one goat? You went with so many, you came with one shot. All you tell him is that the wolf came and devoured it. This keeps happening in the jungles. This is not something strange. He's going to accept it. So you will have the money, I will have the goat, everybody is happy. Now this is a simple shepherd out in the desert. And when he hears this very lucrative proposition, how many times there are lucrative propositions dangled in front of us? But we know for sure this is haram. We know the problems in it. We say, it's so lucrative, I can't leave it. So here was a very lucrative proposition being dangled in front of him. But what is his immediate response? He immediately starts saying over and over again, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ Where is Allah? You are saying to me, my master is not here. I must keep the money, you'll take the goat. Where is Allah? Is Allah not watching? Is Allah Ta'ala not aware? Is Allah Ta'ala not observing all this? Can I get away from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is extremely pleased that subhanallah, that this is the condition of taqwa of the people, that a simple shepherd in the desert, far away from the center, he too has this level, that when he is tempted with something, he immediately responds, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ Are we also all the time hearing this cry within us? When we are being tempted for whatever, when we are being tempted to look at that haram on that phone, on that internet, to start texting and messaging that haram message, to be going to some haram place, to be talking something haram, that haram deal that is tempting us, and whatever else is taking us away from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, at that time is the heart crying out for Ayn Allah. Or are we just looking behind our shoulders, nobody watching? Are we just making sure that the door is locked? We're just double checking that everything is silent and quiet? At that time is our heart crying out for Ayn Allah. That is what Ramadan has come to teach us. That whether it pertains to our dealings, they also each deal we are asking for Ayn Allah. Whether it comes to our social life, our interaction with people, what we are taking, what we are giving, how we are talking, how we are dealing, our employees, how we are dealing with our employer, how we are dealing with our neighbors, our parents, our own family and children. At that time, are we asking for Ayn Allah? I will have to answer for how I deal with people also on the day of Qiyamah. How we conduct ourselves in terms of our akhlaq, our character. Do we adopt sabr? Is there tahammul, hilm, tolerance in our life? Are we adopting this taqwa in our life? This too is part of this object of Ramadan. That this Ayn Allah comes in our heart. And all the time, whether on the street, whether in our business, whether at home, wherever we may be, all this time this call is there from within. For Ayn Allah, Allah is watching, Allah is hearing, Allah knows. I can't duck from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala anywhere. So this taqwa is a complete concept. It's not something isolated to one aspect of life, that a person performs his five salah, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. That is the pillar of deen. Without salah, then a person is far away from taqwa. But together with that salah, together with that fasting, together with the zakat, together with the hajj, together with that umrah, and together with the charity, we have to come to the path of taqwa, of staying away from the disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses him and says to him, that ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan, everybody is motivated towards ibadat. And the more the better. And we should try to do the maximum. But the greatest abid, the greatest worshipper, Rasulullah says, says with Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. Give up all the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Give up the haram glances. Give up the listening to haram. Give up the talking haram. Give up the haram dealings. Give up the going to haram venues. Give up all the illicit activity. Give up the lying. Give up the cheating. Give up the fraud. Give up all the things Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has forbidden. Give up the zulm on one's wife. Give up the disobedience to one's parents. Give up everything else that Allah ta'ala has forbidden. Ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. You'll become the greatest abid and the greatest worshipper. More than the person performing tahajjud the whole night, more than the person making one khatam of the Quran Sharif daily, more than the person doing all the other righteous deeds. We should not be trivialized for one moment. We should not be regarded as minor for one moment. All is very great. And the more the better. But more than all that, give up haram. Give up haram, you'll become the greatest abid and the greatest worshipper. And that is what this Mubarak month of Ramadan has come. So let us start making decisions in our life. We know what is there in our life that is distracting us from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Let us get rid of these things. Let us take out those things that take us away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What is there in our homes? Is that box taking us closer to Allah ta'ala or away from Him? Is it taking us closer to Allah ta'ala or away from Him? How many times a person comes and says, that what I saw on the television, that picture of that woman is in my mind when I'm making sajda. I'm making sajda and that picture is still in my heart. Can we imagine a person in sajda is closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? This person is in sajda and how far away from Allah ta'ala? Is that taking us closer to Allah ta'ala away from Him? Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala an is performing salah in his garden. He's performing salah. And it's a lush garden. And one bird comes in. And for a moment that bird gets entangled in that branches or somewhere in that leaves. And starts fluttering. And his attention gets distracted for a short while towards that in his salah. And then he comes back to his salah. And when he completes his salah, he says, this garden became a distraction from my salah. Whereas he was performing salah, and his attention just got distracted by the fluttering of that bird. He says, this garden distracted me from Allah. As a result, he now gives that whole garden away in sadaqah. He says, I can't keep it. Things are taking us to haram over and over again. He says, no, but I can't do away with this phone. Drop it from the highest building, let it break to pieces. If it's taking you to haram, it's taking you to pornography, it's taking you to the worst filth, it's destroying your marriage, it's making you an embarrassment for your children, and worse than everything, it's taking you far away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then drop it from the highest building and break it. That internet, destroy it. All this technology is very useful, but it's a very, very sharp knife, a two-edged sharp knife. It's a two-edged knife. Either a person will use it correctly, then it will benefit him. Otherwise, he'll kill himself with it. So something that is taking us away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, let us make decisions in our life. That this Ramadan now needs to be a decision time. I need to come back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I need to mend that relationship. I need to develop this fa'in Allah within me. And all the things that are distracting me from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, going to venues and going to things and places which distract me from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All the intermingling that is taking place is not taking anybody closer to Allah ta'ala. Whether it is some wedding function, wherever it is, where this intermingling is taking place, is not taking anybody closer to Allah ta'ala. Shun it, whoever it may be. So let us make these decisions. I need to come back to Allah ta'ala. My life, I have no idea when it will finish. Then on the day of Qiyamah, I won't have any answer that this person told me to do this, that person called me here, that person offered me this. Then it's going to be between me and my Rabb. Let me prepare for that time. This is what Ramadan has come to give us. Ramadan has come to give us this consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That this fa'in Allah develops. That we realize that we need to become the greatest abid and the greatest worshippers. And that is by giving up every haram. And this will come, that himmat and courage will come, when we will bring ourselves in the correct environments. We'll come in the environment of deen. Go out in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Go in the company of the ahlullah. Spend the time in their company and learn how to develop this for Ain Allah. This Mubarak month of Ramadan, the last 10 days on our doorstep, ideal opportunity a person has, perform i'tikaf. Oh, go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala and develop this for Ain Allah. Alhamdulillah, the ibadat we'll make wherever we are. But to develop this for Ain Allah, where is Allah? Allah is watching. Allah is aware. Allah knows. To develop this, we have to make the sacrifice and effort. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give me and all of us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.